show that pulls back the industry curtain. We're exploring pop culture, music icons, and food gods. It's the Jeremiah Show with Dr. D, broadcasting from the HJL Hospitality and Evolve Studios in LA, Santa Barbara, AM 1290 KZSB, and FM 96.9 Santa Barbara, or somewhere from the road. He's opened and fixed more than 200 restaurants, bars, nightclubs, hotels, and neighborhood joints around the globe. He's an industry driver, an author, and a columnist. He's a restaurateur with legendary rock star Mick Fleetwood on Fleetwood's on Front Street in Lahaina, Maui. And he's your radio host. And now, back from a race around the sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
Welcome to the Jeremiah Show. Today we are partnering up with Out Comes the Sun, and Melissa Yamaguchi is here with me to co-host. We're going to talk about my wildlife. We're going to take you into Africa. We're going to introduce you to Roy Zatiski of My Wildlife, and we're going to meet the man behind the lens. Roy has been photographing the magnificent creatures of Southern Africa for over 10 years. Besides being a wildlife photographer, Roy is also a film director and a director of photography. He's a producer, he's a fashion photographer, and a musician, and has been a film festival juror, including the International Emmy Awards. Roy studied film at the Brooks Institute in Santa Barbara, California. In fact, I'm looking right out the window here at the radio station, and I can see where Brooks used to be. I used to love the photographers and work with a lot of the photographers from Brooks. It's such a great and was such a great institute here in Santa Barbara. I miss it. But Roy went there in the 1980s. And since then, he has traveled the world and added a lot of experience and shot a lot of camera rolls before it became digital. And he's taken a lot of great pictures. We're going to explore those photos and those films, and what Roy is doing now, today, as the two shows join together, the Jeremiah Show and Out Comes the Sun, with Mariel Hemingway and Melissa Yamaguchi. Melissa Yamaguchi, again, is my co-host today. Roy is a recipient of the South African Film Industry's Best Mentor Award for his work in transformation, and is also a winner of the Best Cinematography. Roy, how do I say that? How do I pronounce that? Mignette VUCA?
The VUCA Awards, the Mnet VUCA Awards.
Yeah, wow, congratulations. Roy has also delivered master classes in directing and cinematography at several universities, and he was the head of film at AFDA Film School. Welcome, Roy. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Lovely to be here, and thank you very much for having me on your shows.
I want to actually talk a little bit. I always say, you know, for my show, it's a peek behind the curtain. I love the stuff that happens to make things happen, the hard work that goes in behind the scenes. And I wanted to let the listener know, we've been talking to Roy, Melissa, Mariel, and I for about, I don't know, 3 weeks or so, maybe four, going back and forth and trying to find the right time, because Roy's in Africa right now and the sun just set behind him and his villa. We watched it go down, And apparently all the animals come out at feeding time at the sunset. But we had to really work with you, Roy, to get a time for to do this interview, because from what I understand, I'm going to let you explain it. There are rolling blackouts, or there are certain days that you have actually have power and Wi-Fi. Tell us a little bit about the challenges that you face there.
Unfortunately, we've had a bit of a problem with our power grid in South Africa at the moment. So they're having to do these load shedding things, which puts you out of power sometimes for most of your day. And so it's really hard for me, because it's fine. Those are great times to go out there and photograph. But when you have to come back and process your photographs and put them and load them and do anything or any communication with the outside world, you don't have that. So, in fact, yesterday there was a big national protest in South Africa about the government that have kind of let the equipment not work anymore by not maintaining it over some years. So we are faced with these challenges, but, you know, we are resilient South Africans, and we always make a plan and work around whatever our situation is and make the best of it. So, but that has been a bit of a difficult situation, especially lining up this interview, because I was a bit worried that at last minute the government would suddenly announce, oh, sorry, we've got load shedding during those hours, in which case we'd have to have cancelled this interview. So I'm very glad it's all happening and we've got the power.
You got the power, and I'm so happy to have you here, and it's such an honor to have you on the show. I'm glad it all worked out. It was meant to be, right, Roy?
Yeah, absolutely meant to be. Very happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit. You were telling us offline here before we started the show, at sunset outside the villa, you know, the animals come out, and we also tried to set up the interview where we were able to capture some of that, but I think we just missed it by, you know, a half hour or so, an hour. Yeah. But you did have some visitors up on your deck tonight.
Absolutely. Earlier on, we tried to run into town, and we couldn't get out of our driveway because there were four giraffes in our driveway. And you know, you just kind of throw your hands up, turn the motor off, and wait for them to move. But it was a beautiful sighting, because they were like standing in the middle of the road. And they kind of glanced over at us and kind of looked at us for a while, but didn't budge. They just stayed in the middle of the road. And I said to my wife, Linda, who's visiting from San Diego at the moment, I said, this is it, you know, like we're in their world and we're on their time. So we just got to sit back and wait for them to move, and they'll move along. And I've been telling her about how much the animals come and visit the villa. And just for the last few days, we haven't had any. And then we came inside when we got back from shopping, and there were some waterbuck just outside here, just in front of my deck. And I said, I told you so. They do come. They do come. And there they were. And we made a little video for my granddaughter to send her to show her, because she just loves the animals.
Oh, yeah. All kids love animals. You said they're coming to visit you, your grandchildren?
Yes, they're coming. It's my daughter's big birthday party we're going to have in March next year. So they're all coming. And at that stage, my granddaughter will be four. And my grandson will be two. So I think it'll be a lovely age for them to experience a bit of Africa.
It's a perfect time.
And they call me Africa Grandpa.
So, hey, that's a cool name. I like that.
Name.
Well, you've been on the Botswana Game Reserve for how long now? And what made you decide to move there?
You know, it was one of those situations. COVID came along and we went through some pretty hard times because my wife had to go off to California. My daughter wasn't well, so she went off to California to go and look after my daughter. And I was stuck at home, and we were getting pretty frustrated. And we were forced to unfortunately close her gallery. She had a magnificent photographic gallery at a wonderful place in Cape Town called the Old Biscuit Mill. It was one of the most popular galleries, photographic galleries. and business just ran dry, and Linda got stuck in the US. I got stuck. Yeah, literally, we were both going from the birth of our grandchild, and she went a bit early because my daughter wasn't well, and I waited for in Cape Town for the real time when we were booked. We booked our flights, and COVID happened in between, so I got stuck here, and we got a bit frustrated. I got a bit frustrated, and you know, a bit of cabin fever, staying at home, and you know, I said to my best mate, "Let's do a road trip." You know, and it was a difficult time to do a road trip during COVID, but I just wanted to go to the bush and be with the animals. And for me, that was my safe place and my happy place. So off we went, and we went off to a reserve called the Addo Elephant Park, where you see hundreds of elephants, huge groups of herds, and it was magnificent. And we stayed in a little resort just outside of the park. And we were the only guests, and there were like a staff of 16 people looking after the two of us. And they allowed it because, you know, they had some like South African special on, because they also didn't have any tourists coming, and also, you know, so a little bit of income would suit them. So we stayed there, and we had a fabulous trip. And then we were bitten by the bug of, you know, being in a reserve. And we thought, on our way back to Cape Town, let's stop at Gondwana. I've never been to at that stage, never been to Gondwana Game Reserve. I said, listen, it's a reserve I've never been to. Let's see if we can get in. And they also had a special. So I went off, we went off to Gondwana, and I remembered that I had an old school friend from years ago that had a home in Gondwana. And so I called her up and said, we want to come and visit. And we popped in and met with her. And then after that, she said, go stay at my villa. Whenever I was feeling a little bit down and frustrated about being alone during COVID, she'd go, hey, go stay at my villa. Very, very kind friend of mine, Laura. And which I did. And eventually just absolutely fell in love with this place and fell in love with being here. And learned more and more about what an incredible reserve it was, and what an incredible, how amazing the owners are, and what they've done to create this beautiful biodiverse place, where, because of the way they've set it up, the animal, the animals are so prolific, like they're little babies everywhere, because they feel so comfortable. And I love, one of my favorites is photographing baby animals. So the first time we got together, there were these tiny little baby lion cubs, and they were so special to photograph. And I'd just come from photographing these beautiful baby elephants in Addo. And this was, you know, that was this for me. And I decided, this is the place I want to stay. This is the place I want to live. And now here I am. And fortunately, thankful to our good friend, Jonathan, Jonathan Platt, who I met while I was in San Diego. And I think he took a strong liking to my wildlife photography, and has helped set up my wildlife with his other good partner, Daniel Sater. And I'm very thankful to both of them, and grateful to them every day for being in this amazing place and being able to do what I absolutely love every day.
I am always grateful for Jonathan Platt. What such a great guy. And I'm so happy that he connected the two of us. And you've mentioned your photography. I wanted to just jump in real quick, and Melissa's going to take over from here. Check out, if you're listening or watching right now, go to mywildlife.com, and wild is spelled WYLD. And there is, you can see on the menu bar there, photos by Roy. And they're just incredible. So beautiful. So incredible. Stunning. They're stunning. Yeah. You really want to check them out. Melissa.
I shared with you briefly before we started to air that I have been to South Africa. I've been lucky enough to go to South Africa twice in my life, once before I had children, then the second time with my children when they were 3 and 5, and now they're 21 and 23. So it's been a bit. But I still have the stories of my time there imprinted so in indelible print in my brain of how wonderful and special South Africa is. And because you've had such an immersive boots on the ground experience there, I'm really chomping at the bit to hear some of your favorite stories that you'd like to share with us about being on the reserve and being around the animals.
Every day is a new story and every day is a whole new experience. And I feel like I'm learning so much from observing animal behavior. I think particularly elephants. Elephants I find absolutely fascinating. What I find fascinating is how they relate to each other and their whole social behavior and their family rituals and how they handle birth and how they handle death and kind of everything in between. It's amazing to observe. And I can sit at one of the water holes and watch these elephants for long periods of time, because they're very intelligent creatures. They have obviously the biggest brain of any land animal. Yes. But besides that, feel deep emotion. The way they connect with each other and use their trunks to relate to each other, because their trunks are their most like sensitive organ, and they'll caress each other with the trunk, and they'll use it to kind of make the baby elephant feel okay and help lift it up if it's in a situation. And I just find that amazing, just watching these elephants. It's for me, it's an absolute thrill.
It's certainly amazing. I remember exactly what you're talking about. I didn't have the fortuitous opportunity to be around elephants, but the giraffe and the springbuck and the rhinos, and there was a brand new baby rhino that had been born. So I know the beauty of the babies, and that the sweet innocence of babies translates no matter what the form is. So I can imagine. I've been to some reserves when I was there. Why Godswana Reserve? Talk to me about the importance of that reserve.
The setting, it's extremely picturesque because it's set in something called fynbos, which is a local wild bush that grows out here, various forms of it. And it's so unusual. It's not like Kruger Park that's set in very dry kind of bush area. This is set in quite a lush kind of beautiful green setting. And there's a magnificent mountain backdrop behind Gondwana. So, for me, it's all about the pictures and the visuals and, my cinematography and what I can get. And the combination of that fynbos, the animals in that fynbos against these mountains, I just found to be absolutely magnificent. I also have huge respect for what the owners have done with this place, and also what the head conservationist and the conservationist team have done with this place. They really are the real deal. They are passionate. They are totally, totally passionate about the biodiversity that they've created, about studying the animals, the research groups that work over here all the time, and they bring in foreign students who want to learn more, and they take them around, and there's like a whole teaching program. I find that incredible. So, for me, that's why I've kind of chosen Gondwana as my base and the main reserve that I'd like to spend my time with. So, yeah, I love Gondwana.
We're talking with Roy Zatisky, My Wild Life. Go to mywildlife.com. Wild is spelled WYLD, mywildlife.com. Let me tell you a little bit about My Wild Life. It's a platform that explores amazing images and intimate experiences of wildlife through the lenses of celebrated photographer and filmmaker Roy Zatisky, located in some of the most exotic game reserves throughout Africa. And along the way, you're going to learn about the animals, the way that they coexist, some of them even have names, and how they relate to nature. Learn more and join the tribe on Instagram and YouTube at My Wildlife Official, on Twitter and Facebook at My Wildlife. And the website, again, is mywildlife.com. Don't forget, wild is spelled with a Y, W-Y-L-D. We'll be right back with more of Roy Zatisky, My Wildlife.
Now I'm the king of the swingers, oh, the jungle VIP. I've reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. I wanna be a man, man cub, and stroll right into town and be just like the other men. I'm tired of walking around, oh, ooby-doo. I wanna be like you. I wanna walk like you, talk like you. You see it's true. An ape like me can learn to be human too.
I am Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
Hi there, everybody. This is Ann Hitch.
Hi, I'm Mariel Hemingway.
And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Please visit me at MarielHemingway.co or the All for One Club and join the Barefoot Challenge.
Hey, everybody, it's Tim Stack from It's Radio with TV's Tim Stack telling you, asking you to watch the show Sprung on Freevee, Amazon's new free channel. I promise you, it's funny, it's got heart, and my shoulder appears in episode 3.
Welcome, Los Angeles. The Jeremiah Show is now on Radio Candy Radio. Discover a world of emotions, your digital radio. The Jeremiah Show airs 10 p.m. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. RadioCandyRadio.com.
Yamaguchi with Out Comes the Sun podcast, and we're here today co-hosting with Jeremiah Higgins on The Jeremiah Show. And so lovely, so wonderful to be here with Roy Zatisky from My Wildlife Official on Instagram, and that's wild with a Y, W-Y-L-D. That's how wild it is. He spells it differently. You can also find him on Twitter and Facebook at My Wildlife, and please go to www.mywildlife.com and check out his site. I took a chance to get on there and look around. His photography is amazing, and the work he's doing to preserve the animal life in Africa is astounding. So please help out and go to that site and donate if you can. Roy, we are so honored to be with you today. Your stories are enchanting, and you're such a great storyteller. So thank you for sharing your time with us. I was reading through some of the work you're doing, and you have a program called Synopsis, and it really struck me because the work that Mariel and I do on Outcomes the Sun podcast and through her Mariel Hemingway Foundation is working with people and understanding mental health and how to get them to the position of well-being. And I've started understanding that animals also suffer from mental health issues, in particular depression. And as you were sharing with us earlier about the elephants, I'm sure there's plenty of stories we can talk about with the death of within the elephant pack and how they handle that. And also anxiety, whether it's separation anxiety or because animals don't have the ability to worry about the future, it's anxiety about maybe what's happening around them. Can you talk to us about the interaction more, about the interaction of animals? We'd love to hear about that.
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm drawn back to telling more stories about the elephants because they have a particular ritual. When they lose an elephant, they'll go back at a later date and they'll form a little almost circle around where the bones are of that elephant, and they'll caress the bones with their trunk because they have huge memory capacity. So elephants will remember, which helps the matriarch, because the matriarch will always remember where the water hole was, even if it's miles and miles away. The matriarch remembers how to get to the water hole. So they'll do this whole ritual for those who have passed. And it's amazing to watch. And I fortunately witnessed it a couple of times. And I'm always moved by it because now that I know what they're actually doing, you know, they're not just running their trunk around some bones for no reason. They've actually lost a loved one. And they are very emotional creatures. They experience, you know, all the emotions, love, and they care. They've got such caring for their babies and their children. And, you know, if a baby is uncomfortable and feeling a little bit anxious, all the elephants will surround and start to gently prod the baby elephant with their trunks. And it's beautiful to watch because it's just such a caring thing. And I think we as humans can learn so much from these elephants. So I'm busy with a documentary series called Life Lessons from the Wild. And I'm wanting to compare our behavior, humans, because I think we've lost the track, lost the path a little bit. And we can learn so much from how animals care for each other and how they respect each other and how they understand their boundaries, what they're dealing with. So for me, this is an opportunity. And because I've been in this situation where I've been able to observe animals, very close and for such long periods of time, I've picked up on these behaviorisms, and I've started researching that in more depth. And I feel that is my work here. I feel that I've been kind of led to this place to share with the world what we can actually learn from these animals. Besides biomimicry, which is like amazing things that we can learn from animals, and that humans have already adapted certain things based on what they've learned from animals, I think there's a lot more to learn. Mm-hmm. And I felt that it's the right time for a series like Life Lessons from the Wild. And I've got the full backing of the reserve. They love the idea of the series. And at the moment, we're busy trying to find a network that would be prepared to kind of back it and finance it. So if there's anybody listening out there, I think it would be a very, very amazing series. I think we can learn so much from the animals. We've kind of lost the plot as humans in many ways. The fact that we kind of pump barrels and barrels of oil out from underneath the crust of the earth every day and then wonder why we're having earthquakes. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, guys, this is obvious stuff to me. And I just don't think humans sometimes get it, how obvious it is, how we're destroying the planet. And we're having big issues with extinction of animals. You know, yes. Only 100 years ago, there were about 200,000 wild lions in Africa. there's only 20,000 left. And I mean, in 100 years, to have lost that percentage of animals, and, you know, the black rhino is going extinct, just African elephants are reducing in numbers. And there is a way you can help. And reserves like Gondwana have conservation departments that need all the support they can get. So there is a link, a direct link to Gondwana Game Reserves Conservation Department on our website, where you can donate and support. And it would be much appreciated if you do so, because we need to, you know, the humans are the biggest threat to the animals' existence, and we the ones that have to do something about it.
Yes.
So I'm also encouraging other photographers to do a bit of a give back. You know, we go to these game reserves, we make beautiful photographs, people buy our photographs and make money from those photographs. I reckon if every photographer just gives 10% back to the reserve that they took that photograph from, we can actively participate in making the change. And that's what I'm all about right now, is being part of the change, being part of making the difference.
You can go to mywildlife.com, wild spelled W-Y-L-D, Roy, to make a donation, as Roy's talked about. And yeah, encourage all the listeners to do so. Even change, right? I mean, you said pocket change, whatever it is, it helps. It goes a long way, whatever you can afford to do. You mentioned at the top of that, Roy, that you think that we could learn, humans could learn a lot from these animals. Are there similarities that you've seen in our behavior, or what are those lessons, and what are those lessons that you have observed through the wildlife that you think we could, you know, maybe one or two to three points that really stand out to you that we could learn, you know, how we could learn from them?
Well, you know, even zebras, just the way they nurture, the way they take care of their young and how protective they are, I think we could learn a lot from their behavior. And I see that with so many of the animals and how they interact. I came across a situation the other day where there were some lions and there were some rhino, and they were all, they'd somehow come together in the same space. And I thought, uh-oh, this could be a conflictory situation. No, it wasn't at all. There was this kind of mutual respect thing that goes on. You know, the fact that somebody might be different to you, that might not be the same as you, we got to have respect for each other as humans. And we've got to, and it doesn't matter how different we all are to each other, we've still got to have that respect. And I've seen that happening amongst the animals. You know, obviously, we're the law of the jungle and the strongest will survive, and lions have to eat, so they go and maybe kill a little springbok or whatever, but that's part of nature. But I've also seen the way they have respect for each other, and that for me is an amazing thing to watch. That's one of the things I've picked up. And I'm delving deeper. I don't want to give too much of my show away yet, but I'm going to go deeply into observing each animal. Every episode will be a different animal.
Well, let's talk about that, Roy, when we come back from break. We really want to talk about the documentary, the docuseries, the different episodes, what you're going to explore in each one, and what the goal is, and what the viewer can expect. I'd like to explore that when we come back.
Great.
Your story about the animals coming together, I was waiting to hear if it was going to be the zebras and the elephants. And if that were the case, I was going to say we need to do a group bonding moment with our political parties. That might be the thing to do to get them to watch the animals. You're listening to Outcomes the Sun podcast and The Jeremiah Show. We are here today with the lovely and talented, amazing Roy Zatisky from My Wildlife Official. And please go to his website at www.mywildlife.com. We have many more exciting stories and enchanting things to share with you. Please do come back.
Mm-hmm. inside forever.
Never seeing no one nice again.
Welcome, Somerset, England. The Jeremiah Show is now on Core Radio. Keep on rocking to the core. Core Radio. The Jeremiah Show airs at 10 p.m. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Core Radio dot rocks.
Hi, I'm Andras Jones from Radio 8 Ball, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show, and I'm so excited that they are being so supportive of my new record, All You Get.
And we're back with The Jeremiah Show.
Joseph's face was as black as the night, and the pale yellow moon shone in his eyes. His path was marked by the stars in the southern hemisphere, and he walked the length of his days under African skies.
Welcome back to The Jeremiah Show, and out comes the sun. Mariel Hemingway and Melissa Yamaguchi. Mariel was going to be here today and regrets that something came up up there in Idaho. She's up in probably a bad snowstorm, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll join us. She will join us on the next one and sends her love and her support for My Wildlife. Roy Zatifsky, mywildlife.com. Let me tell you a little bit about it. My Wildlife is a platform that explores amazing images and really intimate experiences out in and among the wildlife, shared through the lenses of celebrated photographer and filmmaker, our special guest today, Roy Zatifsky. And his photos and his films are located in some of the most exotic game reserves throughout Africa. He happens to be in Gondwana on the game reserve there, and joins us today. We're talking about his new film series, and maybe breaking down the episodes and what he plans on exploring. We also want to encourage you. You got some change there in your seat, on your car, on your couch, in your chair, on your floor, in your cupboard, whatever it is. You got a couple dollar bills. Check out and support mywildlife.com. Welcome back, Roy and Melissa.
Thank you.
Both of you are doing this show together today, Melissa. It's a lot of fun. I loved one of the quotes that you said, Roy, and I'm going to use it. In fact, every day is a new story. Tell us another story today, Roy.
Yeah, you know, every day is going. We've got two baby rhinos at the moment on the reserve, and they, you know, that is just an absolute thrill. You know, the older rhinos are a little bit suspicious of the vehicles, and they'll kind of hold back. But the little babies have got no fear; they're totally fearless, and they'll charge the vehicle and they'll come right up to you. And it's such fun to see them and their behavior.
Are they basically just little miniature versions of a rhino?
They're miniature versions. And it's hard when you see them to imagine that this little thing is going to become that huge thing. And so I love to kind of capture that in a photograph, to capture the scale of this tiny little rhino. This is the big one. And I love to do that with hippos as well. When you get hippos to actually come out of the water, which they occasionally do, and you see the contrast of the little baby hippos and the big hippos.
Roy, I'm looking at my, because I want to tell the listener right now, if you're sitting down and you're in front of a laptop or your phone, mywildlife.com, wild, W-Y-L-D, in the gallery, baby hippo, Mama Hippo. I'm looking at it right now. God, these are, and then the baby rhino next to the adult rhino. Giraffes. I mean, this is just beautiful, beautiful photography. You definitely want to check it out. Sorry to interrupt you, Roy. Go ahead.
No problem. Those baby rhinos are still strong, though. They're amazingly strong.
Oh, they're little toughies.
They're like a snake.
Yes.
You know, one of the things we witnessed from the deck was a little baby zebra finding its legs really starting to run around. You know, because they need to kind of protect themselves in a way. The parents are very protective, but baby zebras can get up and stand about 4 minutes after they bull. They can actually get up and stand on their feet. Wow. And after about 20 minutes, they start to walk. And then eventually they discover they can actually run. And when they discover they can run, they run around like little mad things. They'll run, oh, look, I've got legs. And they'll run and they'll run and they'll run. Anyway, I managed to capture this on video, this one baby zebra finding its feet. And it was just such a fun thing to watch, just to see how excited it was. And it was running around all the other zebras going, look, I can run. Look, I can run. And it's incredible. So it's amazing how nature kind of provides, because baby zebras, obviously, they've got the adult zebras, who'll kind of pack around them to protect them from the predators like the lions. Yes. And that kind of thing. And what they do is when they're lions or anything, they start to move around and form this little movement. And that's why a group of zebras is called a dazzle, which is an amazing name for a group of zebras. and it is dazzling because the lions start to move. And I find that also quite fascinating, how various animals have various ways of protecting their young. Yeah, so that's just one of the other wonderful experiences I had with being able to capture that moment. And I've only ever seen it once where I actually got zebras finding its feet. And I think I might have sent you a little video of that. So it's really a fun thing to watch. It is a video that we will be posting one of these days on our platform. So do look out for it. It's quite a fun little video.
I'm going to play a couple of the videos while Melissa asks you her next question. I'm going to find those. I'll play those right now. Roy, you did send those to me.
Great. Excellent.
So I thank you for sharing these stories. You're taking me back. I'm sitting here giggling. I felt like that little baby zebra as you're telling all the stories, because I'm remembering my time in South Africa and you're bringing it back to life for me. For those who want to know more about Synopsis and the philanthropic arm of this and getting involved, can you, aside from making donations, is it also, would you encourage people to get onto the site and to spread the word and to draw other people to it? There's plenty of people who are looking for a platform, and can you guide us a little bit on that?
Sure, absolutely. You know, our plan is to take viewers on an absolute adventure. So it's almost like going on a virtual photo safari. So we're going to be starting to share more and more videos besides the photographs. So you'll actually go along with me and experience what I'm seeing pretty much firsthand, so that you'll be able to come along. And by signing up and joining, it costs you absolutely nothing to join the platform and to follow the platform. You'll be able to see some of the adventures we go on. So besides the experience at Gondwana, we are going to travel to other reserves where we want to, there's another reserve we want to go to where we want to follow the wild dogs, which are amazing, amazing creatures. I love that. And they are also becoming extinct. So I'm, you know, my mission is to really draw attention to the fact that we as humans are their last hope. We have to make a difference. And as Jeremiah was saying, small change is what makes a big change. So you donate your small change, because if you want to make a change and you want to partake and participate in making a difference, this is an opportunity to do so. And the conservation department at Gondwana needs all the help it can get to make that difference. And they are really doing it and starting to reverse the extinction process with some of the animals in their small way. And if we all make a difference in a small way, we make a difference in a big way.
Yes.
And that's for me what it's all about. So you know, I'm trying to do my small little bit to help encourage others to make their big little bit, and together we can make a difference.
I think that what happens is we disconnect ourselves, right? So we imagine the animals in the zoo, and we because here in the States, we don't have animals roaming. We have we have an errant coyote and little rabbit here and there, a squirrel, but we don't have this. And so we feel it's so far away. That's why we want to encourage all of our listeners, please, to go to www.mywildlife.com. That's W-Y-L-D, life.com. And really look at these animals. You look in their eyes. You look at these the expressions that you've captured, and you can't help but feel instantly connected to them. And we have to preserve them. The thought of extinction is terrifying. And the ramifications far exceed just the visual beauty of the animal when you can catch it. It's the ramifications this holds for us as a species, for us, is terrifying. So thank you so much for all the work that you've been doing. It's very powerful.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Roy Thetisky, mywildlife.com. It's a platform that explores amazing images and intimate experiences of wildlife through the lenses of celebrated photographer and filmmaker and special guest today, Roy Thetisky, located in some of the most exotic game reserves throughout Africa. Roy has also a new film series that he is working on, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and say goodbye here on our final segment. Join the tribe on Instagram and YouTube at My Wildlife Official. Don't forget, My Wildlife Official, wild is spelled with a Y, W-Y-L-D. And then on Twitter and Facebook at My Wildlife, and visit the website to see the gallery, see how you can help donate that pocket change or anything else that you've got, or just support through joining together and supporting Roy and mywildlife.com. We will be right back.
Buckets of rain, buckets of tears, got all them buckets coming out of my ears, buckets of moonbeams in my hand. You got all the love, honey, baby, I can stand.
Check out Jeremiah's top 10 new artist picks on Radio India Alliance each week. The Radio India Alliance is a chart service that allows indie recording artists an opportunity to have chart placements. We don't charge. We support. RadioIndiaAlliance.com.
Hey, it's Tim Stack, and having been in show business for so long, I have a lot of really funny friends, and you can hear them all on It's Radio with TV's Tim Stack. That's part of the Jeremiah Show. So listen.
Hi, this is Carol Swarbrick. Check out Miss Lillian, More Than a President's Mother. It's a wonderful film, and you can find that on Amazon Prime. And I am so pleased to bring you back to The Jeremiah Show.
I sailed a wild sea, climbed up a tall, tall mountain. I met an old man beneath the weeping willow tree. He said, now if you got some questions, go and lay them at my feet. But my time here is brief, so you'll have to pick just three. And I said, what do you do with the pieces of a broken heart? And how can a man like me remain in the light? And if life is really as short as they say, then why is the night so long? And then the sun went down and he sang for me this song.
Hi, this is Melissa Yamaguchi with Outcomes the Sun podcast, here co-hosting today with our good friend Jeremiah Higgins from The Jeremiah Higgins Show, with our special guest, Roy Zatisky from MyWildLife.com, www.mywildlife.com. That's with a Y on wild. And Roy, we really would like to ask you to please give our listeners some information on going to your gallery and what that means and what all they can do, how they can participate. People want to know that they can help. How can they help?
Absolutely. By going to mywildlife.com and visiting the gallery, there's an opportunity to buy signed original prints, and a percentage of the cost of those prints goes back to the conservation departments in the reserves where those photographs were taken. And so that's part of the kind of give back thing that I'm trying to spread amongst other photographers, wildlife photographers, that they all remember to give a little bit back, because they managed to capture this photograph, but these reserves spend so much time and effort and money to kind of keep those animals alive. It's the least we can do. You know, I get up at the crack of dawn. You know, there's that old saying, early to rise and early to bed and keeps you healthy and all that stuff. And I've really learned that since I've been in the bush, because I have to be up at like 4:35 a.m. to get out there for the sunrise, because that dawn is magnificent. And we don't experience that enough in life. And I wasn't before. I was kind of getting up late and kind of not being able to operate until I've had my coffee, because I'm a total coffee addict. and the early to bed, the early to bed thing I'm really struggling with, because I'm one of these guys that kind of stays up late and I'm always busy with all kinds of stuff late. But I'm having to get myself into a routine so that I can be up early and be bright and shiny and ready to go and get the magic. And, you know, if you go out there with the right attitude, the magic presents itself. It's not about like, am I going to find this or am I going to find this? I am going to find this. You put out that kind of attitude and you will. And you can manifest anything. You know, when my family came to visit me in Kruger, we would join hands in the morning and wish for what we wanted to see that day. And it would just appear. So the one day we go out and we say, oh, I'd love to see a leopard in a tree, because they're quite a rare thing to see. We go out and we see a leopard in a tree, but it's so far away, I'm the only one in the vehicle with a lens long enough to get a great shot. I get the great shot. Next day we join hands, we go, we want to see a leopard in a tree, but closer. And believe it or not, there it was. We suddenly come around a bend and there is a leopard in a tree closer. And I said, guys, that's the power. That's the power of believing in what you can get in manifestation, instant manifestation. And I think, you know, that people talk about being in alignment and being in the zone. I think that's really what it's about. You've got to believe it. Mm-hmm. You can't have any doubt when you go out there. You go out there with a belief that you're going to find magic, and magic presents itself. And I think you can apply that to anything in life.
Beautiful, beautiful final words, Roy. I love it. Go get the magic. The highly quotable, extremely amazing photography, wildlife photography. He's Roy's a film director, a DP, a producer. He's also a musician. What instrument do you play, Roy?
I play the blues. I play the blues. I love to meet with my friend guitarists and have a little jam every now and again. It fills my soul. It's part of my soul food.
Mm, love it. Extremely talented in all aspects. Roy Zatisky, thank you so much. My Wildlife, mywildlife.com. Thank you, Melissa, for doing a show with me. Together, The Jeremiah Show and Out Comes the Sun, Mariel Hemingway and Melissa Yamaguchi. We teamed up here and we got to talk to such a fascinating man and such a fascinating spot in the world. Photography, mywildlife.com. Check it out and see how you can help. We can learn a lot from the animals, and I believe that. I believe that, Roy. All right, I'm going to give you final. Melissa, anything? And then we'll give Roy final words.
Thank you. Your work is very moving. And I think at a time when we've gotten a little bit stale in understanding our fellow man through COVID or whatever we want to put it on, I think that reconnecting with the source and reconnecting with that magic that we all have the opportunity to see and find through your, I think through your photography, I'm going to go on myself today to www.mywildlife.com and I am going to purchase something. I'm enchanted by your stories. You're a charming guest. Thank you so much for being with us.
Melissa, I have my eye on something. Can you, can I tell you what I like?
Yes. Yes, please do. I'll do a group effort here.
My birthday's coming up. I'm just kidding. Roy, final words, please.
I'm so grateful to you guys for having me on your shows. My best to Mariel, and hopefully we can connect sometime. But thank you both. So wonderful to meet you. And thank you for the support. And on behalf of the animal kingdom, I thank you as well, because we can make a difference together. And I thank you for participating in that.
Go make the magic happen. I love it. Roy, I want to propose something before we say goodbye.
Yeah.
You're working on a film series. Each episode is different, right? You're exploring different topics, different angles of the wild kingdom that you live among. I'd like to suggest that maybe you come back and talk about an episode or the next episode, and just keep us up to date with what you are putting together in your film series. I'm sure our listeners and I know I would be fascinated. I'd love to keep in touch and continue to talk.
Thank you. And if you have any connections at any of the networks that you think might love to, you know, back something like this, support a series of this nature and flight a series of this nature, I'd appreciate all the connections you
can. Well, I think Jonathan and I will talk offline here and we'll see how we can help. For sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Roy Zatiski, mywildlife.com.
Thank you.
Melissa, my sign off, I don't know what your sign off. My sign off is communicate, listen more, and evolve.
I don't have anything that's sophisticated and sexy. I just kind of wave my hands.
Okay. I like that. That's waving your hands on radio is great.
Can you feel it?
Everybody have a great week, and you have a great evening, Roy, and a great sunrise tomorrow.
Well, thank you. Deep gratitude to you, bro. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Question me. I wonder, do I want the simple life that I once lived in a way? All things were quiet then, in a way they were the better days. But now I am the proud monkey you ever seen. Monkey see, monkey do. Thank you.
Hi, this is comedian Maz Jobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show. Listen, man.
Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify. The Jeremiah Show. Look for the black label. As always, a big thanks to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the air at all. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at jeremiah@thejeremiahshow.com or on Messenger, on Facebook, or Instagram. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and me, your announcer, Tony Kelly. Communicate, listen more, and evolve.
Mama put my guns in the ground. I can't shoot them anymore. That cold black cloud is coming down.
My name's Danny Trejo. Jeremiah, you're loved, Holmes.
I love you.